We talked about Passover and Pentecost, and today we're going to go to the next one, which is called the Feast of Trumpets. So let's start with some prayer, and we'll open up the Scriptures. Father, I ask you this morning to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Give us a heart to respond. Lord, teach us what's significant to you out of these verses this morning. What is it you want to say to our hearts, Lord, to our church, to us as individuals? Help us to hear it and receive it, Lord. And I ask that you just reveal more of Jesus to us out of the Scriptures this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23, and if you remember just briefly, we talked about how each of these feasts were created by the Lord, and they were an actual literal feast, but it had fulfillment in Jesus' life as well as the life of the church. And Passover was representative of our salvation. How many remember that? And Pentecost was representative of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the next feast, which is trumpets, but it was part of what's called the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you remember, there's three main feasts: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And Pentecost had three parts. And they were Pentecost, and unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. And we talked about how that represents our salvation and our water baptism. And then Pentecost is a feast that kind of stands alone. We talked about that last week. And in the New Testament church, it's representative of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And now this third feast is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it also has three parts. And the three parts of it are called the blowing of trumpets. And the second part was called the Day of Atonement. And the third part was called the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. So today, we're just going to pull one of those out. We're going to talk about just the first one, called the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, so let's read here in Leviticus 23, and you'll see how the Lord describes what's called the Feast of Tabernacles, and he shows you how all three of these are part of it. Leviticus 23, verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts." And later on it says, the Lord said to Moses, "On the tenth day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement." So we're talking about the seventh month. The first day was a blowing of trumpets, and then 10 days later became the Day of Atonement, which was to Israel the most holy day of the year. It was an amazing day. That was the day when the high priest would go into the holy place one time, and all the sins of the people will be wiped away in a day. It was an amazing day. And then the third part of this feast is called, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 10 days. So all these three combined is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Today we just want to talk about the first one, which when the trumpets were blown on the first day of the seventh month. Now when those trumpets were blown, what it was representing to the people is in 10 days, the great holy day is coming. It was almost like signifying a preparation. Get ready. And during that 9 or 10 days preparing for the Day of Atonement, the people would fast and they would repent before the Lord. They would come and bring their hearts before him, because one day something amazing is going to happen, and they were preparing themselves. So trumpets, in a way, was like a signal saying, get ready, because something wonderful is about to happen. Prepare yourself. The alarm is going out. The message is going out. Prepare. And so let's continue on now. There's a scripture in the book of Joel, chapter 2. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming." So in this scripture, he's saying that the trumpet is pointing to the day of the Lord's coming. So this is really the first feast, I believe, that is looking to the future. We talked about Passover, had a fulfillment in Christ. Pentecost had a fulfillment, and we experience both of those now. But now it's like the fulfillment of the feast is now pushing over into the future. Hasn't happened yet. And so the blowing of the trumpets is somewhat tied to the second coming of Christ, and we'll see that in a few moments here. And I just want to touch on this briefly because I believe there's an even more important role that the Feast of Trumpets plays, and that's what I want to focus most of my time on. But in Joel 2, verse 1, it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand." Can you see how the blowing of the trumpet was to set something in the hearts of the people? Get ready. The Lord's coming. Prepare yourself. And then actually, when you read in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, and in Matthew 24, each of these talk about a blowing of a trumpet at the second coming of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed." I want you guys to know that, you know, when we as Christians die, we're going to be raised again one day. Actually, everybody in the world will be raised either in the first resurrection or the second resurrection. But those of us who die in Christ, we will be raised imperishable. We will live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Death for us is simply passing from this life to the next. I was talking to Bobby and him yesterday about what happens when someone's cremated. You know, if somebody's cremated, they're still coming back in the resurrection. It doesn't matter to the Lord that your body was burned or that you were fell off a boat and you were eaten by fish and you're deposited throughout the ocean floor, or that you were burned up in a fire and you died, or that you were simply buried and after a certain number of decades, I mean, you're still gone. They dig up people that have died hundreds of years ago. What do they find there? It's just bones. But one day, listen to this, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and there's going to be a blowing of a trumpet and all those bodies are going to come back to life again. This body that you see right here is coming back. These bodies, it's going to be different. It'll be changed. It'll be an immortal one. This one here is mortal. That one will be immortal. This one here can feel pain. That one won't. This one dies, that one lives forever. This one has sorrow, that one won't. It's going to be a changed body, but this body's coming back. And I'm wondering if the Lord's going to give me hair. I'm just still wondering. I don't know about that. It doesn't really matter to me, you know, because we're going to be with Jesus. That's all that counts. Amen. I don't think anybody's going to be up there wondering what you look like. We're going to be face to face with our Lord and Savior forever. He is the focus. He will be the attention. Everybody's eyes will be on Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God." There's that word again. "And the dead in Christ will rise." Matthew 24, verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then there will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." What a day that'll be. "With power and great glory, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So you can see that this trumpet is tied to the Lord's coming. Actually, it will be blowing on that day. But the one in Joel is saying there's a trumpet blowing now, saying prepare, because the day of the Lord is coming. The Lord wants us to be prepared for his coming. You know, I think that even the heart of evangelism is, in a sense, a blowing of a trumpet, because we're telling people, prepare. The Lord is coming. Everybody is going to stand before him on that day, and we're either going to be in heaven forever or in hell for eternity. And there's a trumpet that's blowing that says, hey, be prepared, get ready for the Lord's coming. And we need to have a seriousness about that in our day. Because you know what? I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but this thing I know for sure is this one day closer. And tomorrow will be another day. And if you should die before he comes, you're one day closer to that. And everybody else we know, our neighbors who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to help them find their way to the Lord, because once they die, there's no chance of turning back. There's no changing the position once they die. The only opportunity is now. And so the trumpet is blowing. Get ready, because the day of the Lord is coming. The trumpet is also linked in the Bible to the voice of God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning for the most part. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is John speaking. And he says, I heard behind me a great voice like a trumpet. And who was that? Anybody know? It was Jesus. I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you see, write it in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And so the Lord is very, very concerned about getting a message to the church. His voice is like a trumpet. It's the blowing of a trumpet saying something. Listen to my voice. And as you go through and continue to read what is the message that Jesus had for the church, you'll find it in Revelation 2 and 3. And at the end of every one of these statements, the Lord ends it with this statement. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And to each one of these churches, there was a couple that didn't have an issue, but to each one, he is pointing out areas where they need to change. His voice is coming out like a trumpet, and he's saying, you've left your first love. Come back to that. He is speaking like a trumpet to us, preparing us for a day to come. Get ready. And so in this speaking like a trumpet, he is pointing out areas of change, areas of growth, areas of inconsistency. Sometimes we hear prophetic words here. God speaks to us all the time. He's calling us to a deeper walk. He's calling us to a changed life. He's calling us to reality with him. He doesn't want us to remain the same. He's constantly changing us and transforming us into the image of his son, like we talked about last week. We are seeing Jesus face to face. He's unveiled before us. And he's changing us. He doesn't want us to remain stagnant or unchanged. And so he brings us into life situations and into relationships with people. And sometimes those things expose issues of our heart that he wants to deal with. But it's a voice of a trumpet that comes. And he's speaking. I wonder what's Jesus saying to the church today. What is he saying? I think at some level, that we're probably in this Feast of Trumpets now. The voice of the Lord is speaking. Speaking to the church. Speaking to individuals, maybe speaking to unique congregations. What is the Lord saying to Alliance Christian Center? What is the Lord saying to the Church of Jesus Christ at large in America and in the world? What is he saying? Don't you want to hear that? He speaks in various ways. He speaks by his Spirit. He speaks through his word. He speaks through people as we encourage one another. He speaks through spiritual gifts. He speaks through exhortation. He speaks to us through prayer. His voice is constantly coming. He speaks to us through the creation. The creation is screaming out all the time, look at me. Look at how awesome I am. Look at how great I am. God is constantly speaking. The question is, are we hearing it? And I don't mean just hearing it, physically hearing it. I'm talking about hearing it. In the Bible, in the book of the Hebrew language, when you speak of the word hear, it has the connotation of obeying behind it. And you guys all know, you probably had a similar situation. When I was a little boy, my dad would say, I don't want you doing that. Do you hear me? What was he really asking me? He wasn't saying, do you hear me? Because you could obviously hear him because he was yelling at the time. He was saying, is this getting into your heart? Is this getting into the place where you're going to do what I'm telling you? Are you hearing me? And so when we look in the Bible and we say, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, that's the idea behind it. It is not just, oh, I heard that great message, or yeah, that was a great word, or whatever. It is, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it with my ears. I'm hearing it with my heart. And Lord, change me. Because the trumpet's blowing. It's the time of preparation. It's getting ready. And the voice of the Lord Jesus is constantly speaking. In Ezekiel 33, verse 2, it says, the Son of Man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring a sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman. So in those days, you know, they had the walls around the city. There was a watchman. He would be on the wall, and he's out looking. Is the enemy coming? Somebody's there ahead of time, and that's called the watchman. And he's got his eyes peeled for the horizon, looking out for danger, looking out for the enemy coming. So you choose somebody to make him a watchman. He sees the sword coming against the land. What's he do? He blows the trumpet. He blows a trumpet to warn the people. Praise God for that. And it says here, if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood is on their own head. That's sad, isn't it? And so there's a purpose for the voice. There's a purpose for the trumpet. And the trumpet is going out, and as the voice is sounding, and the Lord is saying, this is my way. Walk you in it. Turn from this. Go this way. Go over here. We hear it, but if we don't heed it, if we don't heed it, and our life comes to this end, we have no one to blame. See, the blood is upon our own head. And so it's important as a church that we learn to focus in and hear. What is it that the Spirit is saying to the church? What is he saying to God's people? Verse 30 in that same chapter, Ezekiel 33, verse 30, as for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other. Now listen, here's the people. Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a man of God. He was speaking for the Lord. And sometimes he spoke messages toward repentance. He spoke things that would move these people to a better place in their walk with the Lord. And he said, here's what the people are saying. Come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. I mean, the people said, yeah, we want to hear this. Come, let's go. My people come to you as they usually do, and they sit before you to hear your words, but listen, they don't put them into practice. What good is that? I mean, they're all excited. Here comes Ezekiel. Let's all go out into the center of the town and listen to what Ezekiel has to say, but there's no taking heed. See, the trumpet's blowing, but they're not hearing. They're hearing here in their ear, but they're not heeding. They're not responding. There's not a thing in their heart that's saying, that is the Lord. Let's respond to this. They don't put him into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. What an indictment against a man of God who's standing up to be a prophet. Man, he said, you guys, we love you, Ezekiel. You sing love songs, and you have such a beautiful voice, and you play an instrument well, but we don't really care what you have to say because we're not changing. But we like it. Sing it some more. It's a beautiful love song. Your words seem so flowery as they come out. It's a wonderful thing to hear. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not speaking evil of anybody here because I don't know what you do. But it's easy for us as people just to chase the flowery words. Oh, that was such a beautiful sermon. Well, who cares if it's a beautiful sermon? What cares is it moving your life? That guy is such a wonderful preacher. I watch him every day. Well, so what? Is your life moving? Are you hearing what the Spirit is saying, and is it moving you closer to Jesus? Is your life being transformed? Are you hearing the word of the Lord, or is it just, oh, he's such a flowery speaker? When I hear him speak, I just get goosebumps all over. It must be of the Lord. And he even sings songs at the end of his sermons. It's so, I just am so caught up with this. Okay, great. Praise God. Is your life hearing what the Lord is saying to where it is changing you? That's what these people were all about. I wonder, when the Lord looks at the church today, what he would say in America, what would his voice be? Jeremiah 6, verse 17, I appointed watchmen over you, said the Lord. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. See, the watchmen are there for a reason. God's given us watchmen. They're all around us. They're there for a reason. And they're speaking, they're seeing, and they're talking, and they're blowing the trumpet. And the Lord tells the people, listen, I've appointed watchmen over you. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, O nations, observe, O witnesses, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I'm bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words, and they rejected my law. Isn't that a sad state? The Lord is sending the watchman. He's given the warning. He's letting the trumpet be blown. He's doing everything he can to say, prepare, be ready. But there's something in our hearts at times that says, I just don't want to hear this. I don't want to heed it. And so the Feast of Trumpets, I think, is tied to us being willing to hear deeply. Hear, what is the Lord saying? What are you saying to me, Lord? And can I respond to that? In Amos chapter 8, that's a book in the Bible you hardly read, isn't it? Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. It's one of those small ones. But he says a neat thing here in Amos 8:11. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. You know what a famine is? A famine means there's not enough food, not enough water. There's a famine. And the Lord said, the days are coming. So he's talking about in the future. I'm going to send a famine through the land. It's not a famine of food or a famine of water. It is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. See, it's not a famine of the word going forth. It's not a famine of the trumpet blowing. It's a famine of hearing. There's plenty of word going forth. We probably have more word going forth in the world today than we've ever had in the history of mankind. But there's a famine of hearing. And I grieve for our country. I grieve for our country because I see many of these mainline denominational churches shifting, moving away from the word of the Lord. Things that you see that are clearly spelled out in the Bible, but because the culture comes up and says, this is the way it is in 2015, churches are saying, yeah, you're right, we're going to leave this aside and move this way. We're not hearing. We're not hearing the trumpet. We're hearing a different voice. We're hearing something that's causing us to lay aside the trumpet. And we're hearing the flowery message. And so I wonder what the Lord Jesus would say if today he said to the church in America, this is what I would say to you. Let's tune into this and hear it for ourselves. Lord, what is it that you are saying? Let us be people who hear that trumpet and who respond to it, and not give in to the pressure of our culture to move us away from the Scripture. Some of you know Rob Bell, and you know he's had his own thing going on for a little bit here with some books he's written. He recently wrote a book called something about marriage, Zimzum, about marriage relationships. And he was on the Oprah Winfrey Show doing an interview with her about the homosexual movement where people were being embraced by the church. And here's what he said. When Oprah asked him the question, is the church going to embrace this? And he said, I think culture is already there. And it's true. And the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense. Now, to me, we're not hearing. If this is where we're at, we're not hearing. I believe that the church needs to embrace the homosexual no differently than any other sin. We're here to win people to Jesus Christ. The homosexual was not somebody to be avoided or to be shunned aside. We need to reach out and love them and help them to see the truth in Jesus Christ. But it is the truth in Jesus Christ that'll set them free. We've read in the Bible before about how we were alcoholics, adulterers, fornicators. And it includes homosexuals. And it says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are cleansed, you are sanctified. This is the message of Christ. This is what sets people free. And so we as a church, we're not shunning anybody. We're reaching out with the love of God. But we are saying, let the truth set you free. We embrace everybody. But to take this approach, which says, well, you better get on board because the culture is moving this way. I'm saying if the church has to be irrelevant, let's be irrelevant because he is eternal. His word never changes. He doesn't shift with the culture. He said every jot and tittle will be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away before something here will be missing. And so I'm standing with what's stable. I'm standing with what's firm and what's eternal, regardless of where our culture shifts. And it's not just homosexuality. You look at the abortion situation, and I mean, there's just so many things, questioning whether the Word of God is even true, questioning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are so many issues that the mainline denominational churches are just moving away from it. And I wonder if the Lord is saying, listen, why won't you hear my Word? The trump was blowing, but we're not heeding. We're moving in a different direction. So I say, God, help us. Help us as a people here, Alliance Christian Center, to be people of God's Word. Help us not be afraid of standing for the truth. All right, I'm going to close with one last scripture here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2. And there was a sort of a revival going on in the book of Nehemiah. And it was, you know, there was an excitement about God rebuilding the city and getting ready to build the temple. And, you know, they pulled out the scriptures again. These people hadn't had the law for a long time. And now they're bringing out the word of the Lord again. And it's interesting that this particular portion of the Bible happened when? Do you guys see it there? Nehemiah 8:2, on the first day of the seventh month. What day is that? That's the blowing of trumpets day, isn't it? On the first day of the seventh month. So here's something that happened historically on the day of trumpets, and I think it in some ways encapsulates what this Feast of Trumpets is about. It's about hearing what the Lord is saying through his word and responding. So let's read it here. On the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. So get a picture here. All the people were gathered together. Ezra brings out the law. And it says in verse 3, he read it aloud from daybreak till noon. How would you like to be in that church service? As soon as the sun comes up, Ezra's coming out. And he's going to be out there just reading it. All he's going to do is read. No commentary. Just reading the law up until noon. as he faced the square before the Watergate in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. Listen, all the people listened attentively. Can't get that word for some reason. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. What was going on there? Well, there was a trumpet that was blowing, and people were hearing. The word of the Lord was going out on the day of trumpets. And you might say, man, that must have been boring, just reading the law from sun up till noon. But these people were so excited to hear. They weren't looking for goosebumps. They were looking for the word of the Lord. And they were there listening attentively. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood a handful of men whose names I don't want to pronounce this morning. I don't want to show you guys how much Hebrew I know. On his left were some other men whose names I don't want to mention. And in verse 5, Ezra opened the book. Imagine this, the trumpets blowing. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and they responded, amen, amen, so be it. And then they bowed down. And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What an amazing day. All because they're hearing the word of the Lord. All because the trumpet's blowing. God is doing something with this people here. And it says the Levites, another group of guys whose names I don't want to mention, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. And they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear. See, it was a clear trumpet voice. It talks about in 1 Corinthians, if the trumpet doesn't blow a clear signal, who's going to know what to do? If it's not trumpeting charge, you wouldn't charge in the battle. So there needs to be a clear message. And so they read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so the people understood what was being read. What a beautiful day. The trumpet's blowing, and it's blowing with clarity. The people are grasping this. God is speaking to us. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. I think that some of the weeping may have been joy, but I think some of the weeping, which we'll see here in a moment, is because they began to recognize we're not walking with the Lord the way he wants. His word was coming forth. The trumpet was blowing, and they were hearing it with clarity. And all of a sudden, they're saying, oh, God, you know, what's going on with us? And we began to weep, and we begin to mourn because we've not followed his ways. I mean, these scriptures are coming alive to them for the first time in many of their lives. They're seeing it for the first time. They're hearing the trumpet of God, and it's moving upon their heart. This day is holy, he says, do not weep or mourn, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And then Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What is he saying here? He's saying this is a day of joy. How many have ever used the scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength? But this is the context of it. The context of it is, I'm here and I'm hearing the trumpet blowing and I'm hearing the message of God, and it is revealing areas in my life that he needs to change. He's calling me to repentance, and so I'm over here mourning, and the guys are saying, this isn't a day to mourn, it's a day to rejoice. Why? Because God is changing me. And when the word of the Lord comes to you and he's pulling you to repentance, or he's pointing out some issue or some sin or some flaw in our lives, it is not to destroy us or push us down. It is to say, I have come to set you free. I have come to give you life. And so when that word comes and we hear Jesus say to us, you've left your first love, repent, or else I'll remove your candlestick. That's the day we should be rejoicing with all of our heart, Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given me that understanding. You've given me that revelation, because I've been walking all this time not loving you, but I've now heard the trumpet blast. I've heard the voice. And Lord, I rejoice. I'm rejoicing that you have set me free. I'm rejoicing you've given me a path out of my miserable life. It's not to destroy us. And so this day, as they were bringing forth the word of God and bringing it with clarity, it was going into the hearts of these people. They were hearing it. They were heeding it. They were seeing where they had fallen short, and they were mourning and they were weeping. And these guys said, don't. Rejoice. Rejoice, because look what the Lord is doing with you. What a beautiful scripture. So the next time you get up and say the joy of the Lord is your strength, remember where it comes from. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy. Why? Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. No famine of hearing here, was there? Stand with me, please. There are times in our life where the Lord points out areas of sin, and what we do is we go and mollygrub. That means you just go just feeling bad for yourself all the time. The thing is, if the Lord is showing us something, it's because he is redemptive. He is reaching out to you saying, look, look, turn, come. He's revealing it to bring change. And so whenever these things come, rejoice in it. Rejoice in the thing the Lord has done. He's opened my eyes to see the reality of the condition of my heart, not to condemn me, but to move me, to change me, to draw me closer. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord Jesus, I ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, I do pray for the church in America. My heart is grieved every time I read about another denomination making a move that's away from your word. Father, I pray that our children would not see this as the way to go. I pray they would see it as those who have abandoned the truth of God's word. That we would stand for truth, Lord God, that we would have courage and boldness as men and women of God in our own right, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would help us to have an ear that's tuned to the trumpet of God, as you would speak and make it clear to us that we would respond. And Lord, when you do point out those areas of our life that are sinful or that displease you or that you want to change, help us to rejoice in that day, because you are doing a work in us to set us free. Father, I ask you for these things for all of our church, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, well, take some time and share your love with one another. If you have a need for prayer, please feel free to come up. We'd be glad to pray with you.